That's the creepiest. That is the creepiest. That's
definitely the creepiest intro you've ever had. I can't hear it, but Maria's telling me that, so I'm gonna believe her.
That is the creepiest thing we've ever done to our listeners. Having this weird, heavy breathing at the start of the show.
Yeah.
Okay. Listeners, I apologize for that. I thought
it was more like whale sounds.
Oh.
It was like for any whales that are interested in listening to Magic the Amateuring, which is this podcast that you're listening to.
I don't see why they wouldn't be.
Exactly. All those whales playing magic like they do.
There's plenty of whale representation in magic.
Yeah, there is.
Think about Stormtide Leviathan. Is that thing a whale? I don't even know now that I said it. I'm pretty sure.
There's Colossal Whale.
That's true.
That is definitely a whale.
There is Killer Whale.
There is?
Yes.
Well then.
That's card art that is just, it looks like a killer whale. That's what it is, and that's the art.
All right.
It's a killer whale. So whales out there, this show is also for you. For humans out there, this is Magic the Amateuring, as Megan said. We're a magic podcast for learners, veterans returning to the game, and anyone who likes to chuckle in their chuckle parts about magic.
Yeah, man. My name is Megan. I am one of your hosts. I am 5'5".
My name is Maria. I'm one of your other hosts. I am 5'4".
Well, look at that. I am average, and Maria is a little bit short.
Slightly shorter than average.
But it's okay.
I've used that to my advantage.
We're her friend anyways.
Yeah. Most people mistake me for an elf, but I'm not.
That has never happened.
Nope.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was mean of me. I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, I just dream about being an elf. It's no big deal. I'm not crying right now.
I'm sorry.
Just dream. I can fall asleep every night dreaming about being an elf and tapping for one mana. I just want to tap for one mana. That's all I want. I understand.
That's all any of us wants is to tap for one mana. We have some exciting stuff coming up on the show today.
We sure do.
Yeah. We have some For the Noobs. We're going to answer a couple of noob Dear Abbeys that have come in.
Yeah.
They're pretty great. We're going to talk about picking a constructed deck that's right for you. And then we're going to talk a little bit about what is going on with M15. Mostly, it sucks ass. We'll talk more about that.
And cons of Tarkir. We've got some spoilerage for you.
But really, how much does M15 suck?
Oh, God, it sucks so bad.
God, it sucks so bad.
Do you think we're the only two people who think it sucks? Maybe
really
everybody
hope
else likes
not.
It.
Listeners, if you also hate M15, you would like to stab it.
Mm-hmm.
You'd like to stab packs of M15 with a knife.
Yeah, I'd like it to drown in a bucket of ice.
Yeah.
That's not an easy death.
No, it really isn't. If you would like it to be buried underground and forgotten there.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know. You tweeted us at MTAcast your feelings about M15 draft.
Yeah, please do. And how you would like to murder it. I would like to know that.
If you'd like to murder it, tell us how.
For the Noobs, we like to shart on the show. Nope.
No, Maria, please don't.
It's too late.
Oh, you guys.
It's just too late. For the Noobs got me. I was real excited for the Noobs. TMI.
Keep it together.
We like to start the show off with a segment to help our newer Magic player friends get acclimated to the game. Megan and I learned this game about a year and a half ago, plus or minus several months, and so we'd like to pass that knowledge on to younger players. I don't mean younger in terms of years. I mean younger in terms of Magic brain ability.
But you can also be younger in terms of years.
Sure, it's not a distinct cutoff. Either way.
We don't have hard and fast numbers for our listeners.
No. No.
We do have hard and fast numbers for our pets.
What do you mean?
I have 0 pets.
I have 2.
Those are hard and fast numbers.
Oh, okay. Sure. But so, what if one of my cats is pregnant?
Is one of them?
No, they're 2 boys.
Well,
Megan,
then.
Boys can't get pregnant.
Oh,
you
what?
Silly.
Weird. So, Maria, what's our first For the Noobs question today?
So, we have a lovely email from Jacob here, and his message says, I'm a fairly new player that bought a bunch of cards without paying attention to editions. What would be your suggestion going forward in relation to deck building for tourney play? I'd like to start building decks playable in tournaments for the day I'm actually good enough to participate. New listener, looking for advice.
Oh, man. So this is a great question.
Yeah, it's a great noob question.
So the first thing you're going to want to do is think about, well, do you want to play, standard?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to play modern?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to play legacy?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to play vintage?
Don't do it.
Don't do it. You're crazy.
Don't do it. You're nuts.
Anyways, so it's each of those formats is a little bit different. And depending on the format, you know, different kind of decks are popular. Different kind of decks are going to last longer. And, you know, different kind of decks, maybe there's something that's real fun for you to play.
Yeah.
Legacy, we're not even going to talk about vintage. Screw it. Screw it, man.
Vintage. Unless... okay, if you get your rocks off, Jacob, playing some Moxes in your deck, you want to spend $10,000 on a deck.
In case the cards that you're talking about that you randomly picked up happens to be the Power 9 and you randomly picked them up.
Then go ahead. If you want to win on turn one and doing some crazy shenanigans with your $50,000 in cards,
yeah,
be our guest.
Please go for it.
Vintage.
So legacy.
Yes.
Legacy is also pretty crazy.
Pretty crazy.
It is. It's a little bit bonkers. Because you can do some crazy powerful things, and there are also. It's going to be pretty expensive to get into. And there aren't as many events available to play.
No.
You know, there's not going to be a lot of stores that are running regular Legacy events. There are never going to be any Legacy PTQs.
Which is a Pro Tour qualifier.
Yes, there will not be a Pro Tour qualifier in Legacy. However, if you like playing at the Star City Games events, they do always have a Legacy event. They are by far the biggest Legacy peeps out there.
Legacy peeps. My grandparents were Legacy peeps. I feel that's a cool name for grandparents, Legacy peeps.
Yeah, so Legacy, if you wanted to know if any of your cards are viable in Legacy, the answer is probably yes. Legacy decks can consist of any Magic cards.
Any?
Any, from any core sets, any expansions, of them.
What about Banned?
But... thank you, Maria.
Oh,
there's a ban list. So you would want to check out. You can just Google MTG Legacy Banned List and look up that stuff. A lot of stuff like the Power 9 we were talking about. Mm-hmm. Can't play in there.
Yep.
So Legacy, pretty crazy.
It's a lot of older cards. Very, very powerful format. Much mm-hmm. like Vintage. You see some insane decks. Also, like we said, expensive.
Yeah.
So... you know, it's a more entrenched format. I would say players who've been playing for a long time would be more interested than a new player, but it's out there.
And one of the things that they talk about is actually, like, Legacy is kind of, it feels sometimes like it maybe is fading out a little bit, you know, because a lot of new players don't want to invest all of the money that it takes.
It's a lot of time, a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of time, a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, there you go, man.
So probably you might be thinking, what's the next step after a Legacy?
Yeah. Well, the next step would be Modern.
Modern.
Oh, let's get Modern up in here.
Thoroughly Modern Millie. That's a musical.
Yes. Thoroughly Modern Masters. That's a Magic the Gathering musical.
Can someone please write that? Stephen Sondheim, I know you listen to this podcast.
Yep.
Get out your magic twinkle fingers and write some songs.
Yeah, Andrew Lloyd Webber, I know you're listening. Are you alive?
Yes, he's alive.
I know. I mean, he wrote some stuff a while ago. I don't keep track of this. Look, I play magic. I don't play musicals. Anyways.
Magic, the gathering, magic. That's how the song would start.
Oh, pretty
if any
solid.
Of our listeners out there want to transpose that little melody I just sang for piano or guitar, please.
Vine it at us.
Please vine it. Yeah, vine it at us. Is that something you can do? Can you vine at there someone? I'm old.
All right, so the next step is Modern.
Modern.
Modern is, you know, it's going to have some really powerful stuff
also
going
very
on.
Powerful.
There are a lot of different decks that you can play. Some of them are what we call very fair decks. You know, they're interested in playing creatures and killing other things and maybe playing some planeswalkers. But there are also a lot of combo decks, like Storm, which means cards, decks that are abusing the interactions between cards to do something real crazy and real powerful.
Yeah.
So you can also run into that. Modern. Crazy format.
So a good place to start if you're thinking about modern also runs a little more tiny bit more expensive in a lot of cases than standard. You can Google modern decks and find out what some of the more popular modern decks are, and if that kind of fit some of the cards that you have. Maybe you can start to build around it that way.
Yeah, you can also look up if you ever like watching the Pro Tour. Mm-hmm. There are modern Pro Tours. And because modern, so modern, it's any cards that are from, oh man, hold on, that are from 8th edition,
onwards.
So that's a lot of core sets, 8th, 9th, 10th, and then Magic, or that's Magic 2010, and then Magic 2011, Magic 2012, et cetera, et cetera. And then all of the expansions that came between those.
That's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff.
Of course, cards are also banned in this as well.
Yep.
Handy to know.
Can't do anything too stupid.
Nope. Sort of stupid, but not...
But not too stupid.
Too stupid.
So because the cards stretch so far back and you're still doing pretty powerful things, the nice thing about modern is that you can learn a deck really well. You can invest money and time into a deck, and it's probably not going to change a ton from year to year.
Right.
You can keep playing it. So yeah, that's, you know, you can check out, you can look at results for PTQs. You can look at, you know, Pro Tour deck lists for Modern to get some sort of idea of what's going on with those.
Yeah.
They do hold Modern PTQs. We just finished a Modern PTQ season.
Mm-hmm.
That happened.
Oh, I'm glad it's done.
Yeah. A lot of stores do actually have, you know, one or two nights where they'll play Modern at their stores. So it's, in terms of, if you compare it to Legacy, a little bit easier to, you know, get out and play.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
But by far the most popular... And what you probably are asking about, I'm going to say, is Standard.
Yeah, man. Wait, I want to go back real quick.
What do you want to go?
There's like maybe one Legacy Grand Prix, like every once in a blue moon.
Oh, really?
But there are modern Grand Prix. That's also like a regular thing that they do. Just FYI. What were you saying, Maria?
Standard.
What?
Standard is by far the most common format to play, and that's what peeps are playing all the dang time at FNM, etc.
Oh, man. Peeps be all over Standard.
They sure be.
It's like it's Easter up in here. There's so many peeps in Standard.
Oh, God.
Standard, the Easter of all the Magic formats.
That's so true. It's so true. It really is.
There's so many peeps.
So Standard is where you're going to find the most action.
Yeah, man.
If you know what I mean. You know what I mean. I mean games.
Games.
Lots of games.
So there's going to be lots of stuff at your local stores. There's a Pro Tour qualifier season that's all about Standard.
Yep.
Those Star City games that we were talking about.
Yep.
Those opens, they always have Standard on the first day.
Yeah.
You can go to Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Man, and then there's now going to be 3 Standard Pro Tours in each season. So you can watch Standard, you can play Standard. It's all over the dang place.
It's all over the dang place. And so what's legal in Standard, you may be asking yourself? Are these crazy collection of cards I got legal in Standard?
First of all, don't just ask yourself, because where do you keep your answers? Maybe on the internet, but if you ask us, we'll just tell you.
We'll just tell you. Megan, tell the man.
So what is legal and standard is the last 2 expansions and the last core set. There is a little bit of overlap time between when a core set is released and when the newest expansion is released.
Mm-hmm.
For example, right now, Magic 2015 is out. It's unique right now in Standard because Magic 2014 and Magic 2015 is legal.
Yes.
But as soon as Khans of Tarkir comes around, we're going to lose Return to Ravnica, Gatecrash, Dragon's Maze. So all that RTR block and Magic 2014 will all be dunsies in Standard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We'll have Theros block that's legal, Magic 2015, and the whole Khans of Tarkir block that's legal.
Yeah. So Standard changes fairly often.
Yeah, man. With each new set, it adds new cards. And because, unlike Modern, you're not pulling from such a deep pool of cards, it's a little bit more likely to be impacted by the new cards.
Exactly. And like we said with Modern, a great way to find out what you should play is to just Google some Standard decks, head to some Magic sites, see if it's been winning at big tournaments.
Exactly. Again, you can go to Wizards of the Coast.
Yes.
If there's been a Grand Prix, they have their top 8 deck lists. Star City Games, if you go to their website, it's, I'm going to go ahead and say, easier than the Wizards website to navigate.
I think you're correct.
There's events, and then you click on events, and then you go to the deck lists that won the event.
Yep.
This is pretty sweet,
man. There you go.
So that's a good way also, if you're like, what decks are good? It still is pricey to get into Standard.
Yes.
And
Magic in general is pricey. Newsflash.
Oh, newsflash, you guys.
Don't go thinking this is a game of pennies.
But it's not going to be as expensive as modern.
No.
The trade-off is, because cards rotate, your deck that you get for standard isn't going to be good for forever.
No.
It might be good. Maybe it's going to be good for 2 seasons. That would be sweet. You know, or 2 years, you know. Those the blue-white control decks that play Sphinx's Revelation and Supreme Verdict, those have generally been good since Sphinx's Revelation and Supreme Verdict came out. Since Sphinx's Revelation and Supreme Verdict came out. So decks have been good. So it's been a little while since you were able to play those decks.
My God, it sounded like there was some weird, you know, carbon monoxide leak in here.
If I was a Muppet, that's what I would be like.
There's not a carbon monoxide leak where we're recording in Megan's house, but there is a dead mouse.
There's a dead mouse somewhere in my walls.
In the walls.
It's the worst.
You guys, if you ever doubt our commitment to you as listeners to talk in your whole head holes about magic, keep in mind that we are smelling the smell of a dead mouse for this entire podcast.
Keep in mind the dead mouse event of 2014.
R.I.P. mouse. R.I.P. So just check the little expansion symbols on your cards that can be found in the middle on the right, and look up those symbols and you'll know what expansions or what set it's from.
Yeah.
And then you can find out which kind of format it's legal in.
Yeah. And it's pretty sweet. You can go ahead and get started from there. And you know, even if, we've talked a lot about looking up what they call, we're doing what we call net decking, which is where you look up decks that have done well, in events. You look it up online.
Net decking.
Yeah, but don't
that's what I hit somebody with the internet in the face.
Net decking is when I deck someone with a tennis racket. Instead of punching them, I hit them with a tennis racket. It hurts. It's a waffle imprint.
Net decking is when I cause my opponent to draw their last card of their deck by using a fishing net.
How does that work?
Never mind.
Is that legal?
Don't worry about it.
Okay. anyways, so don't let that stop you also from potentially innovating. I think it's still good to, you know, look around and get a sense of what's good, what cards are really powerful in these sets or in each of these formats. But you can also totally just, you know, like
dream up
some crazy stuff.
That's the dream of Magic. It's alive in the 90s and today.
Exactly.
Of innovating a completely new and broken deck.
Yeah, maybe that's you. Maybe you're the next person who comes up with something super sweet, man.
Are you the next LSV? Are you the next LSV?
Yeah, are you the next Andrew Cuneo?
Do you have 3 letters in your name?
Are you the next Makihiro Mahara?
Are you the...
There we go. I got it. Makihiro Mahara. Mahara. There's
good job.
A at the end.
Good job.
I don't know why my mouth is weird.
I have another email from a listener who is a noob and needs some noob advice.
What? What is it?
Yeah, this guy says his name is John Michael. He says... He says, I'm not convinced, personally. He doesn't sound like John
Michael. If I had a dollar for sometime every time someone told me their name was John Michael.
I know, right?
Be rich.
But this guy's real name is Rob. Just sounds like a Rob.
Yep. Anyways.
First of all, I've never even played Magic, but I've been fascinated by it for a long time. Ooh. Last year, I found Star City Games' live stream of tournaments, and I found myself glued to the screen. Absolutely no idea what's happening, so I'm not sure why I find it so interesting.
Because it's fascinating.
Maybe because it has this little own world I never knew that existed, complete with sports broadcasts.
That's true.
Anyway, you just moved to Texas, where Megan's alma mater...
Yeah.
I don't have any friends here yet, and I was thinking I might pick up a hobby since there's a place to play a few minutes from my house. What could you recommend to someone who's completely new and on a limited budget? And what got Maria and Megan, that's us, interested in Magic initially? And how much money did they spend when the addiction hit them full force? Yeah. Oh, and are you concerned about your bosses listening to your podcast and knowing that you're playing at work? First of all, no.
I have told my boss about Magic.
They don't care.
I have told her that it's a card game. I've talked about it with her. Like, I've given her details, and I'm pretty sure she still thinks I mean some sort of pull a rabbit out of a hat magic.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I kid you not, you guys. I'm pretty sure she thinks that.
All of my coworkers just assume... Okay, nerd game, turn my ears off now. And also, we don't play at work because That would be highly dangerous.
Yeah. Also, I can't put magic online on my work computer.
I bet some people try and get away with it, but my God, that's real
power
sketchy.
Power to you, ma'am.
Real sketchy.
So I do have a work friend who is a gamer.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend plays magic. Oh, maybe someday she will. Maybe she'll listen to this.
Yeah, maybe.
Liz, if you ever listen to this, shout out's for you. You're real cool. That's all.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
She is. She's real nice.
So I think some of the things we talked about responding to Jacob about modern standard legacy decks apply to you, John Michael, a.k.a. Rob. Finding interesting, like, what format might you be interested in? Do you want a deck that might stick around for a while? Do you want to try out the newest, latest, and greatest thing? And there's another kind of format we didn't talk about, which is limited. Which is a great way to start playing, in my opinion.
Exactly. Especially with core set limited.
Yes.
Because that is usually, you know, there's not a lot of crazy stuff going on in the core set. It's a little more basic. It's a little more, you know, honed down. And they also give you handy little instructions on each card about what it means, what the stuff means.
So, John Michael, core set is a set of cards that's currently out right now called Magic 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And limited is where you play and build decks based on cards you open in that very moment.
Yep. So sealed, which is a limited format, you take 6 boosters and you open them all by yourself. Mm-hmm. And then you build a 40-card deck.
Yep.
Usually about 23 spells, 17 lands.
Mm-hmm.
And you battle people with those decks that they just made too.
Yep.
Draft is where you're going to get 3 packs. You're going to sit down at a table of 8 people who also have 3 packs. You open a pack, you pick a card out of it, and then you pass the rest of them onwards.
It's like you're drafting players for a baseball team, but instead of a baseball team, you've got a magic team.
And it's an army, and you're going to kill people with
yes.
it.
Yes.
You're going to reduce their life yes. total to 0.
I have a good idea for you, though. If you want to head to the store that's nearby where you live on a Friday night, I'm sure it'll be holding an FNM.
Yeah, ma'am.
And you let them know that you're interested in this crazy game that you've been watching and have no idea what's going on, they will help you out and say, hey, do you have any good decks for starters? Because they sure do.
Yeah,
Magic
ma'am.
Sells them. They're specifically for people wanting to learn the game.
Exactly. You can get started with like a standard event deck
mm-hmm.
is what it's called, which is a deck that you can go play at a standard tournament. And it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be one of the best decks.
No.
But you know, it's gonna have some good cards of it in it,
yep.
and it's gonna let you play some good games.
So I would suggest doing that, and also listening to some magic podcasts like ours.
Good job already, buddy.
You're already halfway there.
Nice
Watching
work.
Some streams.
Yeah.
Watch people play on streams on Twitch.tv.
Yeah, man, streaming is pretty sweet. You should also Maria and I both listen to Limited Resources.
Limited Resources,
which is a great. That limited format that we were talking about, a great resource.
Highly recommended.
For that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There's just tons of resources out there for a new player.
Yeah.
You can also hit up Reddit/magic/magic TCG. And there's always sweet magic discussions going on there. Particularly, I think almost every day somebody posts a question like, I'm completely new to magic. How do I get started?
That's a good advice.
So if you go to the magic subreddit, and like, look, most of the time there's somebody in there wanting to know how to get started, and you can read through that subreddit.
Alternatively, if you know how Reddit works and you want to tell me about it, you can also do that. I don't understand Reddit. I'll let Maria handle that. I would also highly recommend maybe getting a friend involved if you can. If there's someone in your life
Make
that you're like...
Make a new friend in Texas.
Yeah.
Texans are nice.
Exactly.
Megan's a Texas.
I am. That's true. Magic also makes a product called Dual Decks, which is 2 different 60-card decks that are balanced to, you know, play really well off of each other. They come in a box together. And it's a lot of fun when you're first learning to maybe sit down with someone maybe who's completely new, maybe someone who's played a little bit, and you can sit down and play these dual decks against each other, and it'll really help get those basics of the game.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
Megan, what's the easiest way for your native Texas?
Yes.
Tell me, if I'm trying to be your friend, what do I have to do?
You have to say hi.
Okay, good.
You have to smile while you're doing it.
Okay.
I mean, that I'm pretty friendly, so...
Is this true of all Texas?
A lot of Texans are very friendly.
So those two things, that's
friendly,
all you have to do?
Friendly place. Yeah, just be like, hey, smile, my name is Megan. Don't say that if your name's not Megan.
Do you have to be on a horse?
Unfortunately, yes. If you have not yet purchased a horse, okay, you need to do that right away. All right.
Do I also have to be firing a gun into the air?
You know, I feel like people say Texas is still a very conservative state.
Uh-huh.
But we're not as conservative as we used to be.
Okay.
So guns firing is now optional.
Oh, okay.
Now optional.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Do I have to have a yellow rose in my lapel?
Yes, please.
Okay, got all it. Right. That's all you need. That's all you need to do.
Wear a hat. Not a required, cowboy hat? But recommended.
Any kind of hat?
Any kind of hat.
A fedora.
Yep.
A bowler.
Nobody wears a bowler.
A fez.
No.
A beanie.
Well, yeah.
A top hat.
Yes.
A pillbox hat.
Yes.
That's all the hats I can think of.
All right. I also say that yarmulkes are fine.
Yarmulke!
Yeah.
How could I forget
you? Anyways, good luck
getting... The frisbee of hats.
Good luck getting started on your magic journey. And please, you know, in a couple of weeks, once maybe you've tried a couple of these things out, get back to us and let us know how it's going.
Yeah.
In terms of the money thing, just don't think about it. Yeah. The best advice I can give is don't think about it.
I
honestly
could not even tell you how much. I couldn't tell you because I don't know.
I have to say, though, I feel like at the beginning you spend more.
Yeah,
I feel like I spend less now.
Yes.
Just because I feel like there's a little bit more payoff, you know, like once you start doing better, you get more packs and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's not as much of like a sheer loss as opposed to when you're losing at the beginning. It's one, it's fine, and it's normal. But two, you know, it's easier to not count it as a net loss.
You know, I recently, if you play Magic Online, which you both one day will, if your addiction serves, they send you emails periodically that give you some of your stats, and I got an email that had...
What?
Yeah, like what comedy commons, what certain commons you've drafted.
I have never gotten this
That's
email.
That's so weird. They send it to me every so often, every couple months.
What the fuck?
Maybe you need to opt in? I don't know. But this happens, and I recently got one that told me my lifetime booster pack that I've won. So how many packs I've won doing drafts and whatnot.
How many?
It was like 323.
Holy shit.
I was like, are you effing kidding me? That's how much Moto I've played.
That's a lot of Moto, Maria.
In a year.
That is
half.
A lot of and Moto.
And not even because I didn't start playing online until like halfway into my Magic career.
Holy shit.
It was a shock.
Nicely done.
It was a shock.
So anyways, do you know what? Just remember that all of the money that you throw at it is worth it. It's a good time.
I agree.
I like it. Just don't go crazy.
Yeah, don't...
Spend what you're comfortable spending.
Right, yeah. Don't put yourself into the poorhouse. Oh, the red poorhouse.
That sounds wrong.
It sounds like a barn. A barn.
Yeah, don't put yourself into the financial barn.
Well, you know what they say, you can pick your deck, but you can't pick your friend's deck.
Wow, that's so apt.
And today Megan is here to teach us how to pick the deck that's right for you. If you are not lucky enough to go on a deck dating game, a reality show, like I was.
We're not all. Maria is quite lucky.
I've done it. I've done it. It was on A&E. I picked a deck and we went on a date and it was love at first deck.
That's weird show for A&E. Put that out there. That does not sound like it's up A&E's
alley.
I was
strange.
Well, whatever.
It didn't get picked up and it's never going to air. It's never going to air.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But it happened.
15 minutes. All right. So we talked about some of those constructed formats, standard, modern, and legacy. This is going to be a little bit more, you know, geared towards standard. But I just wanted to go back towards, you know, picking a deck that you think is right for you in those formats. I would say that the number one most important thing in standard is picking something that's going to be fun for you to play, something that you like. I know that I tend to be a little bit of like I like to play what's good because I like to win.
That's called being a spike.
Yeah, man. So I mean, and that is something to take into consideration. If that's something that's important to you, you might initially spend a little bit more money, or maybe you're able to borrow cards to sort of put together what they call the tier one decks, which means, you know, the most competitive decks that are going to have the best chance of winning an event.
Right.
Most recently, you know, that's been stuff like Mono Blue Devotion, Mono Black, Blue White Control, and a couple of, you know, sometimes a couple of red aggro decks in there too. For me, you know, I love control, you guys.
Yeah.
Sphinx's Revelation forever. It's gonna be rotating out soon.
It's gonna be gone.
So anyways, I have
maybe that's the smell in your wall. It's a dead Sphinx's revelation.
That's the
dying
weirdest.
In your wall.
There's a that's dark and weird.
It smells so gross. Bad. That bird looks big.
You're weirding me out.
I'm sorry. I just am trying to explain that smell that's been invading our nostrils.
Oh, all right, I'll take it into consideration. Okay. Well, anyways, so I'm happiest playing standard when I'm just making other people's lives miserable. For being
brilliant.
Honest.
What do you think that says about you as a human being?
I'm a terrible person. All right, there you go. So, you know, that's something, it's very important to think about. If you don't care so much about winning, then by all means, find a deck that you think is just going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people at our local game store were big on sort of the profit bant list back in the day, which was had, you know, like Prophet of Krufix and a bunch of blue and green stuff. And, you know, like to churn out huge creatures and play a bunch of stuff with Flash. You know, by all means, if that's up your alley, you know, go for it.
I know people who play with all cat decks, cat-themed deck.
Yeah, exactly. If you like
flavor.
Cats, man.
Flavor.
Go for it. If you like playing white weenie, you know, little white dudes, just go for it, man.
Maybe your name is Craig Wisco.
Yeah. So whatever is going to make you happy, I think is the number one thing when you're picking any sort of deck for a constructed format. And again, that, like a sub-theme to that is, do you really super care about winning? Or do you really super care about having fun? Or maybe both at the same time.
Whatever makes you happy, sets you free, and I'm thanking you for being the deck for me. What a deck wants, what a deck needs.
I applaud you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I would say, what makes you happy? What was I going to say after that? Oh, also keeping in mind if it's something that you're very interested in getting super good at. Like, are you going to want to make decisions based on like, oh, you're going to want to try out a bunch of different stuff. In which case you might not play like the tier one decks because they're a little bit more expensive or, you know, cards are harder to come across. But maybe, you know, you'll switch it up and put together a lot of crazy different decks. Or maybe you do just want to put together a tier one deck and you're going to have fun if you spend a lot of time practicing and become very good at it.
Or maybe you want to stretch yourself in a new area. Okay, that sentence came out wrong. But you know
but
what
you
I
know
mean.
You mean.
So like yeah. If I wanted to be focus on learning to be a bit of a better control player, maybe I'd practice with a control deck.
Exactly. If you wanted to be a better aggro player, mm-hmm. If you are in modern and you want to get down with some crazy combos,
yeah.
You're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. When you're picking a deck, fun, finance, how much you're gonna spend on it?
So
practice time.
I want you to do three Fs.
Fun,
finance. Fecundity.
What does that mean?
Fecundity?
Yeah.
Hold on.
You have to Google it, buddy.
Nope. My email just went off.
Oh,
so
you need
check.
To call your mom.
I need to just make a call to my mom.
Yeah,
real
no problem.
Quick.
Go ahead and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Fun, finance, and friendship. Can you be friends with your deck?
Oh, absolutely.
Very important to think about. floppiness. How much bend do each of your individual cards have to them? Are you trying to put together a very bendy deck or a card that's not bendy at all?
Fecundity is the actual reproductive rate of an organism or population.
So how good is your deck
at reproducing? Measured by the number of eggs, seed set, or asexual propagules?
I feel like fecundity is, that means you're an aggro player.
So
you're just going to repopulate everything.
Fecundity, so like bunnies are more fecundant than humans.
I don't think fecundant is a word.
I think fecundant is that stuff you put on the top of a cake to make it look nice.
Yeah. No, it's fondant.
No.
Were you serious?
No.
Okay, I didn't know. You looked disappointed when I told you were wrong, so. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Give it a try. There you go. Time for our M15 Hate Fest.
You guys, fucking M15.
God damn it.
This is an explicit podcast, and it's about to get real.
What a piece of crap this is to draft.
I want M15 to suck on my poops.
I want M15 to go jump in a lake and not be able to swim.
That's the most Minnesotan insult I've ever heard. Go jump in a lake.
What? Everybody everywhere says go jump in a lake.
Nobody in Texas says that.
What? We all say that.
You say, go jump in a lake, mate.
No, because we're not Australians. So, Maria, what do you hate so much about M15?
Oh, God. Okay. So, if you're a frequent listener to this show, you know I also had no love for M14, which a lot of people enjoyed M14. Yeah. I was not one of those humans. Okay. Because, whatever, we've been over it. So, I think I'm having some of the same problem with M15, which is that I'm simply not excited when I open a pack and see the cards.
No.
None of the cards do I want to pick. It I'm is really rare. Upset by like, them. If I get a Hornet Queen, sure, or an Avacyn, or like a Spectre Ward, but there is just not a lot of. That's never happened. No. I've never even opened a pack and been like, this is what I'm doing. Which, in a lot of drafts, that's what I love about drafting, is you get the excitement of opening the pack and saying, oh, I could go in this direction. Wonderful.
It's like when you open a pack, you're at a forked road.
Yep.
And there's like, you know, there's like 20 different forks.
Uh-huh.
I feel like M15, you open a pack and it's a dead end sign.
There's like a knife and a spoon that's like a little baby spoon, not even a grown up spoon.
Exactly. And they're both like bent weird. And this is no longer a metaphor about a road?
I don't know.
Anyways. It's just the worst. Also, how much do you hate triplicate spirits?
Triplicate spirits is like the bane of my existence.
Yeah. Triplicate spirits is the poison to my Hamlet's family.
Spoilers!
Sorry.
Spoilers!
It's Shakespeare. If you haven't read it by now, when are you going to?
So, we talked about triplicate spirits last show. Go back and listen to that. It's a fun episode. But also, I've heard some people say, how on earth is this card a common? Yes, it should definitely be uncommon. It's impossible to kill and like really just annoying.
Yeah. And earlier, so I did a draft. I hadn't drafted in a little while. I drafted M15 earlier and I was pretty happy with my deck. Like it was pretty sweet. I had like some Typhoid Rats and then up at my high end, it was like black white life gain.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, which is a lot of fun. You know, I had some like solid removal and some sweet creatures. And then I've just fucking lost when my opponent played triplicate spirits and the next turn sanctified charged them.
Yep.
And it's like, yep, well that game is over.
The problem I have also is just not even triplicate spirits, but I will build solid decks, or what I imagine to be solid decks, and then they'll just lose. And I, to dumb stuff too.
Yeah,
to some
what kind
weird
of dumb
three
stuff?
Or four color like mess.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I want to say distinguished, but the word I'm looking for was disciplined. I was distinguished. It's a combination of those two words. And I made a nice two-color deck that's just lovely curve and everything else, but it doesn't fucking matter. Does it M15?
No. I can have an amazing curve. I can have the best curve and removal and good creatures at each thing on my curve.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm going to play triplicate spirits and this Paragon of New Dawns, and you're dead.
I don't get it.
Or I'm gonna play. I feel like there's no room to be creative with M15.
That's also true, but I feel like that's kind of the curse of the core set.
Yeah, that's fair. Because it's like, either you should be the white deck, or you can be the graveyard deck, or you can be the artifact deck.
Yep.
Maybe you can be the red aggro deck.
Yeah.
And then if you're trying to just do anything that's just like we said, like good cards, good curve, shut up and go away.
I mean, I've said this, I can't remember if I said this last week, but I built a deck with literally 9 creatures. Do you know how many creatures you're supposed to have in a deck, Megan? Quiz.
God, at the very least, like 12.
Yeah.
That's scraping the bottom of the barrel, 12.
I had 9. It was a disaster, this draft. I was like, what, I should just drop out now. And I won more games and matches with that deck than any good deck I have put together with M15.
M15, why are you doing this to me?
Figure that out.
I can't.
You know what I'm saying?
I can't.
So, like we said, core set, that's kind of a problem of core set because it is simpler to allow newer players to get into the game more easily. But a problem is you can't be as creative. Like, and I felt the last JBT draft, Journey Born Theros, was... I really liked it.
I really liked it.
Very creative.
You could do lots of weird things.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Good cards. I mean, people sometimes were a little sad about the battle cruiser format, meaning you just built up one huge dude.
Big dude.
But I don't know. That's the most fun set that I've had with. Yeah. I also enjoyed RTR. Triple RTR.
That was a lot of fun.
But I really liked it. So I think maybe it's part of a strong contrast. So contrast, get it? Cons of Tarkir is coming out. Yes. And the cons, as we've mentioned, was maybe developed first and foremost to be a draft set. Yay. So I have high hopes.
Me too. Hopefully it will put an end to the reign that is M15 on my parade of magic.
I hope so.
God, I really hope so.
Listener, if you're having some trubs with M15 and you have figured it out, will you please email us at magictheamateuring@gmail.com and tell us how in the hell you figured out this piece of shit format.
M15 is like rain on your wedding day. It's a free ride
when you're smoking on one hand and other hand's holding a cigarette, throwing a peace sign.
Just didn't take. Wait, who would have thought it figured?
I think we were singing two different Alanis Morissette songs.
Are we? I was thinking, isn't it ironic?
Oh, I was singing the one when she's talking about having a cigarette and throwing a peace sign.
Oh, yeah, I realized that after a minute.
What song is that?
Is that Alanis Morissette?
Sure is.
Are you thinking about... Oh, now I'm thinking about a third song.
What song?
Which is like... and I take a deep breath and I get real high and I sit... What's that one?
I have no idea what that one is.
Oh, man. Okay. Well...
If you know what that song is, please tweet it at us.
Tweet at us.
At MTAcast.
Oh, man. Well, Maria... Thank goodness, soon we can stop hating on M15 so much because we won't have to draft it anymore.
Oh, thank God.
And that's because a new expansion is coming out.
What? Why? When?
Yeah, man.
When is this happening?
It's Cons of Tarkir.
Yay!
When is it happening?
Well, I'll find that out. Tell the good people about Cons of Tarkir.
So, you guys, Cons of Tarkir is the next expansion, which means it's like Theros, Born of the Gods, Journey into Nyx. It's going to be a 3-part expansion. And it's going to be pretty darn sweet. You know, they introduce some new mechanics.
Yes.
We see lots of new cards. This set is going to be based on enemy wedges.
What's a wedge?
A wedge is, you know, you have the little magic card circle of colors, white, blue, black, red, green. And enemy colors are ones that are across from each other.
Because they don't want to sit next to each other on the magic
color
table.
They're enemies.
FYI, everybody, this set is being released September 26th. So the pre-release will be, a week before that?
Yeah.
So, real soon, actually. That's sooner than I thought. That's like almost a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty sweet. I'm excited for spoilers to start coming out. And in fact, they have started. So, get ready. Watch the internet for some spoilage. The second time I've used that word in this show, if you're keeping score at home, spoilage, it's the third time. I'm really excited for this. We have never played, well, I shouldn't say that because I was going to say multicolor set, but I meant a tri-color.
Yeah, Dragon's Maze was multicolor set.
Yes.
Let's see. So I'm going to go real quickly over what the enemy wedge colors are. There is white, black, red, blue, red, green, black, green, white, red, white, blue, and green, blue, black.
Yes, and these all have been dubbed with names.
But we're not going to talk about them because they're awful.
The names are horrible, and already sort of have names because people have been using these colors in standard.
Yeah, a lot of people just call them rug. It's like red, blue, green is just rug.
Rug and junk.
Junk.
Yep.
Which is green, black, blue.
Green, black, white.
You know, you're right.
And so, you know, I don't know if these new names are going to stick, like,
yeah, who knows? They're pretty unusable. So, we're just going to...
But I think the names that we got with, like, Boros and Rakdos and Dimir, like, those... I don't know why I'm fine with those names. Why
those
am I not fine with these
ones? Those
ones
had also been around first in the first Ravnica.
Original
Ravnica.
So why was I okay with those and I'm not okay now?
I think because they didn't sound stupid. I guess.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
Just my guess.
So we've got some cards that have been spoiled. We also have some new mechanics that have been spoiled on these cards.
Yeah, man. It is pretty cool.
Each one of these wedges is going to have its own personal mechanic, you guys. A cool thing that it can do that the others can't.
Yeah. And then these are good to know because also sometimes they're revisited in core sets or in later sets.
Yeah, they might, if they like them, they might stick around.
Exactly. So our first, one of our first newest spoiled cards is Mardu Heart Piercer.
Sweet name, by the way. BT dubs.
This guy is 3 and a red for a 2/3. So, you know, at base stats, not impressive, but.
But what?
New mechanic town.
Oh, yes.
He has a mechanic called Raid, which
is it a bug spray?
Yes. No. Anyways, moving on. Oh my god, I really hope Raid would be the black, blue, green mechanic. Because then it's bug. Anyways.
I get it. Wizards, come on, you guys.
That can't be it because that's black, blue, green, and this is a red card. Missed opportunity. Raid is going to be a bonus that a creature gets if you cast it after you've already attacked with a creature that turn.
So it's a very aggressive mechanic. It encourages combat and attacking.
Yeah, which is common for red. Yeah, that happens a lot. So this guy's an uncommon. And it says when Mardu Heart Piercer enters the battlefield, if you attacked with a creature this turn, Mardu Heart Piercer deals 2 damage to target creature or player.
I love that card.
It's pretty great. This is a good card, man.
It's a good card. Yeah. Good job, Wizards. I like this card a lot. It's very red. It's really cool because sometimes red's a little wimpy, right? And it has trouble finishing off in a later game. So what this card does is makes up for that deficit by either dealing those last 2 points of damage to another creature or to the player's face if you just need to get an extra 2 with a little bit of a shock or a, you know.
Yeah.
Boom.
Everybody likes a little bit of a shock. Except when you don't. Anyways.
Except when it's being done to you.
Except when it's being done to you. Alright, so another spoiled card is Jeskai Elder.
Jeskai, one of the names for one of the wedges, yes, which is a piece of garbage.
Anyways, this is 1 and a blue. It's an uncommon. It's a 1/2. And it also has a new mechanic.
What?
New mechanic down.
Yes.
It has prowess. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, this creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn.
So what prowess is encouraging is shenanigans before combat.
Yeah, man.
That's bizarre.
Weird.
Weird. And also sort of strange for blue because I feel like when I want my tricks to be done, I'm usually doing my tricks on my opponent's turn.
That's true.
Or post-combat.
That's true.
So I don't, you know, I assume they've made some kind of, you know, reason.
Yeah.
For this, it'll be supported in a unique and interesting way.
I'm sure it will.
Because it seems like a waste otherwise.
So pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It also, this card also has a little bit of extra text, which I'll just read.
Sure.
Just to be factually accurate, whenever Jeskai Elder deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card.
So I suppose there's a bonus there.
A little bit of a loot effect. Pretty cool.
You can get a card out of it.
Yeah.
But is it worth getting a card to use your spell pre-combat? I mean, like, you've always got to think about the upside here. Like, are you merely using your card to get the bonus, or are you also getting something out of your card? Anyway, it's hard to speculate now because we haven't seen much else from this set. But I'm interested to see how prowess turns out.
Yeah, I am very interested to see what sort of cards they make that support it.
Yeah, because is it going to be a piece of shite, or is it going to be good?
Yeah, man.
I mean, it could really go either way.
Yeah, man.
It could really go either way. Some other interesting things that have been spoiled. We have lands now that tap for 1 of 3 colors of mana.
Yes, they're tap lands. They entered the battlefield tapped.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they go with those enemy wedges that they were talking about.
Yep.
So far we have Nomad Outpost, which is the red, white, black one.
Yep.
And we have Mystic Monastery, which is the blue, red, white one.
So that's good, because in this wedge set, I was a little concerned. I'm like, how am I going to fix my mana, y'alls?
I don't know.
I'm a little nervous for these cards that have 3 colors in their casting cost.
Important. These are uncommons.
Okay.
So it's not going to be super easy to pick one up.
I'm gun shy about multicolors stuff.
Yeah.
Ever since Dragon's Maze.
Whew, what a mess.
Because Dragon's Maze, if you drafted it, you knew that you had gates.
Yeah.
That instead of a basic land in each pack, there was a gate. And there was always the question of, do I need to pick these gates first and then figure out my colors? Or do I need to figure out my colors and then pick my gates? And then I could just hope that I get gates.
It's a Sophie's choice.
It was horrible. And so I really hope they figured that out a little bit better this time around, because
yeah, I hope so.
That was quite difficult and I never really figured out what I was supposed to do.
It could be really rough. And I'm guessing even though there are some, you know, the thing with Dragon's Maze or the whole RTR block, gold cards in general, one could even say, is that gold cards tend to be a little bit more powerful.
Yep.
Because you do have the drawback of them requiring two or even three colors of mana to cast.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's still going to be possible to build, you know, very functional and even very good draft and sealed decks that are only still two colors.
Right.
But, you know, if you're going to want to use some of those crazy powerful three colored cards, then you're going to have the drawback of, you know, maybe having some mana woes to figure out.
You know, and it's going to be interesting as we see this set get spoiled, because one of the awesome cards from Mardu is Zergo Hellsmasher, and mm-hmm. he's tricolor, and he's just the balls out awesome.
He is a scary motherfucker.
But it's like, okay, I hope I can actually play him.
Yeah.
That's my hope, because I want to be able to do this stuff. And as we mentioned, this was built to be a draft set, so I'm really, really excited, because draft is my jam, so I'm looking forward to that.
I am looking forward to finding out if this was inspired by Game of Thrones.
This set? Yeah,
there's kind of like a whole Game of Thrones situation going on.
Like the kingdoms?
Yeah, there's a bunch of warring kingdoms or a bunch of warring, you know, groups. There's dragons. There's an equipment, a legendary artifact equipment called Dragon Throne of Tarkir.
Yes, that's so Game of Thrones, you guys.
You know, as this set is being spoiled, tweet at us if you feel like you have identified. God, we said tweet at us so many times today.
Well, we want you guys to be our tweet friends.
It's a good time. Anyways, if you feel like there's any stuff that you're like, Game of Thrones.
Yeah. You
know, let us know.
So this Dragon Throne of Tarkir is the newest spoiled card. And it's It is four colorless, of course. It's an equipment, legendary artifact. Equipped creature has defender and hold on.
Okay.
Pay two. Tap. Other creatures you control gain trample and +X/+X until end of turn, where X is this creature's power. Equip three. So it's kind of funny because you're putting them on a chair, and then when you knock them out of the chair, they give all their power and toughness to the other dudes by tipping it over.
I get it.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. I like this card.
It's pretty expensive. Although if you think about it, if you hit four, then you can activate its ability on five, which is potentially just devastating.
Just devastating.
But you have
copyright
to
Zach Hill 2015.
But my bad. I forgot that I was using his trademark.
Yeah, you gotta pay him $50 now.
I will send Zach Hill money in the mail.
You better.
But you're gonna have to have played good stuff before this, you know?
Yeah, this card is not good in a vacuum, obviously.
Yeah.
As is no equipment. But
no equipment good in a vacuum.
Like marbles. You don't want marbles in your vacuum.
No. Marbles are equipment?
For a slingshot.
Okay, fair point. That's all I was looking for.
Yeah. But, yeah, this card would be cool. I hope to play with it at some point. I think you gotta have a lot of... I feel like you want little dudes with this card.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you want one big dude. Otherwise, you're like, if you equip it to something that has one power, that's like, it's giving all of your dudes +1/+1. Oh, party. Great. Wonderful.
Great party. You put me in this stupid +1/+1 chair.
Great. This +1/+1 chair.
Yeah.
Man.
Dragon Throne of Tarkir.
I'm excited.
I'm excited
to identify all of the Game of Thrones references.
I just started watching Game of Thrones, listeners.
Yeah.
So I'm learning along with you what that show's all been about. I realize I'm a little late to the party.
Yeah.
But I'm here now.
Well, Maria.
Yeah.
I feel like I've smelled enough dead mouse for one podcast.
You mean Dead Sphinx's revelation?
Yep.
Sigh, sigh, cry, cry, tear, tear.
I'll bring you flowers every F&M Sphinx's Revelation. Place them on your grave. Sick.
Listeners, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Yeah, it's tonight, been a real good time.
Today, this afternoon, whenever you're listening.
Whenever you're listening, wherever you're listening.
If you're on the moon.
If you're on the ocean.
If you're in Antarctica.
If I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. If I had a pony,
what?
I'd ride it on my boat.
Another.
And we could all together go out on
the ocean.
This
song is insane.
Me out on my pony, on my boat out on the sea.
Okay, that's definitely a Texas song.
That is. That's by a Texan artist named Lyle Lovett. He's good friends with Robert O'Keefe, who is slightly more famous than him, who is also a Texas musician. Listen to some Lyle Lovett, you guys, especially the album Joshua Judges Ruth. It's real good.
I'm going to sing you the Minnesotan version of that song.
Okay.
Going on the lake with a loon. I have a loon out on my lake. I'm on this lake riding on a loon. Oh, look, it's a lady slipper, the flower of Minnesota.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
Make sure you trademark that. Let's sell it on the CD.
TM.
At the State Fair.
If you guys want to get in touch with us, come to magicthamateuring.com and send us a message.
Yeah, you can also, as we've mentioned 8 billion times today, tweet at us.
We are desperate for your tweets. We need them to survive.
We live on tweets.
You guys, I'm wasting away. I need your tweets.
And we also can be found on themeadery.org. We can also be found on mtgcast.com,
uh-huh.
On iTunes.
Yeah, on Stitcher Radio. If you don't have an iPhone and you're not on iTunes, just get it to download the Stitcher app, you dumb.
Hey, don't call people that.
I'm sorry. I meant you smart.
There you go. Positive reinforcement from us, your friends, here at Magic the Amateuring.
If you want to say hi when we're online drafting M15 and being real mad at ourselves, you can say hi. My name's Harney_Unicorny.
And I am Ice Cream Socialist.
We will give you a good luck high five if you give us a good luck high five back.
Yeah, man. Have a good night, guys.
Yeah, or an afternoon, or a morning.
Whatever time of day it is.
Yeah, and if you're in Antarctica listening, cool, number one. Number two, can you confirm that penguins have poop spray? When they poop, they spray it straight out of their butts.
Thank you.
I want to know.